But for all those in LTC and the Taylor Life Group, that y'all are going to be meeting here at the building today at 5 p.m. Here at the building today at 5 p.m. in the teen room. So not at their house, but here today. If you have any questions, come and talk to Jay or come and talk to the Taylors, and I'm sure they'll be happy to help you out. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. If you want to go ahead and turn there, you can, although many of the scriptures we're going to use are going to pop up on our screen today as well. Last Sunday kicked off award season 2020. And over the upcoming months, our televisions are going to be inundated with award shows celebrating all sorts of achievements in movies, television, theater, and music. Everything from the Golden Globes to the Country Music Awards. And there are literally hours upon hours of individuals detailing and debating every aspect of the celebrities who are there. They walk the red carpet as they are photographed and then peppered with all kinds of questions. Who are you wearing? Who are you here with? And what do you think about fill in the blank with whatever contemporary question they might be asked, from politics to sports to who's going to win tomorrow night's award at the award ceremony. And then we watch. Or maybe you're like me and you pretend that you don't, but you'll flip through it and you want to see who wins. Or the next day you'll check all the results online and you'll see who won in what categories and how they might move on. We watch, even if we make fun of it. Because for many, those individuals are the trendsetters, the influencers. They are the celebrities. For many in our society, these are the people who count. We might disagree as to who we think are most influential or most important, but most of us have a list. It might be based on their wealth, their influence, their popularity, their geekdom, whatever it is that you find important. It might be the clothes that they wear or the people that they hang out with, the number of points they score or how many sacks they get on the quarterback in the game. Go J.J. Watt, right? But we literally then assign people worth. And we put them into categories. For many, the world is broken into two groups, the who's who and the who's that. The crowd surrounding Jesus on the hillside as he begins to teach isn't really the who's who of Israel. They're not on the covers of magazines. The paparazzi don't know who they are. People wouldn't know their names or care about their opinions. They're just unimportant. There are probably a few Pharisees there, some teachers of the law, some rabbis and others who have come out to watch Jesus and ascertain what it is that he's doing. But most of the people sitting on this hill are common, everyday, ordinary folk. They are the people of the land. They are the mundane, the ho-hum, the ordinary. In fact, many of them were even just the poor of the poor. They were struggling, oppressed, downtrodden, and looked down upon. They were discounted and counted out. Those were the people sitting on the hill that morning. I recently stopped to listen to a book by a guy by the name of Brant Hansen. Hansen is a syndicated radio host and a Christian. Hansen is interesting because he also has Asperger's and an additional neurological condition in which his eyes are kind of always moving. He says he's not exactly the easiest person to hang out with. And he said that he's always struggled with kind of contemporary religious experience, but he loves Jesus and he sticks by the church. And he wrote this book entitled, Blessed Are the Misfits. And I love that title. And he writes this, once Jesus went up on a hill mountainside and sat down with his oddball assortment of friends and followers. And they were handpicked. And they weren't even close to being respected religious leaders. Oh, there were plenty of popular religious big shots to choose from, respected ones, learned ones, charismatic ones, popular ones. Jesus knew all about them. He just didn't choose them. Instead, Jesus said, blessed are the misfits, the spiritually struggling, those who are grieving, the humble, those looking for justice in the world, the merciful, the genuinely pure-hearted, people who want peace, those who suffer for doing the right things. Those are the ones who God calls happy. Those are the ones God considers blessed. You see, Jesus went up on a mountainside. And he sat down with his oddball assortment of followers, and he told them what the kingdom of God was really like. And it didn't look at all like what they expected. It was way better. It included them. And I love his wording that's there because it reminds us the very people that most of us would have overlooked or written off, Jesus considered blessed. They might not have mattered much in the eyes of politicians or the popular, but they were important in the eyes of God. And something amazing, profound, incredible, even audacious happens in the Sermon on the Mount. It's something that I have often overlooked because I've grown up hearing it and knowing this story. But all throughout the sermon, Jesus tells them to refer to God as Father. This wasn't something that was unknown in Judaism. There are passages in the Old Testament that refer to God as Father, and many of them are popping up on the screen behind me as I continue speaking. But while these passages exist, they weren't very popular descriptions, because in Judaism, God was God. He is holy and holy other. And in Judaism, you don't even write or say his name. You use titles or replacements instead. Because God was God, how dare we refer to him by a name? And mostly he was just called the God of our fathers. It was even more removed from them in many ways. We would never imagine calling God Father. That would be way too familiar, too ordinary, too presumptuous. Yet in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus refers to God as Father 17 times. 17 times in three quick chapters in a sermon in which you could read the whole thing slowly in about 23 minutes. Of those 17, only one of them is to God as my Father. Jesus says, my Father, one time. 15 of those are your Father. And one of them is from today's reading, our Father. How beautiful is that? That the King of the universe would call us his children. You see, Jesus looks out at this group of ordinary people and he says, you are sons and daughters of the King. He is your Father. He is our Father. Not because we are perfect, not because we are popular, not because we are powerful, because honestly, we aren't any of those things. It's not because we are good or worthy or holy, but because God is. Brennan Manning was a Catholic priest for many years and a writer. And Manning struggled all throughout his life with alcoholism. And he just writes candidly about his story. He would get sober, and then he'd act out. He'd repent, and then he'd fall short again. He struggled with his faith because he felt like a failure. And he felt like nobody else would understand him, and for years he hid his problem. It was something he struggled with and wrestled with. And then in one day, in the midst of talking with a friend, he radically discovered the meaning of the grace of God. And he then spent the rest of his life writing books about it. One of my favorites is a book entitled Ragamuffin Gospel, and in it, Brenning writes this, "To live by grace means to acknowledge my whole life story, the light side and the dark. In admitting my shadow side, I learn who I am and what God's grace means." And he goes on to state this, "My deepest awareness of myself is that I am deeply loved by Jesus Christ. And I have done nothing to earn it or deserve it." God loves us because of who he is. He is our Father. And he stops and invites this crowd of nobodies, outcasts, misfits, and down and outers to realize that God wants to be their Father. And that's how he asked them then to pray. They start with these words, "Our Father," and then they go without pretension, without fear, without hesitation, and with boldness, hope, trust, confidence, and love. Our Father. Indeed, many Christian groups actually just refer to the prayer that Carrie read for us this morning by this name. It's the Our Father, which is fitting because this prayer is completely founded on the fact that God wants a relationship with us. Now, before we go on this morning, I want to acknowledge for the fact that for many of us in this room, the picture of God as Father might not be the most easy thing for us to hear. Some of us didn't grow up with a dad in our lives. Others, our dad was largely absent even when present. Maybe some of us grew up with a father who is domineering or damaging with their words or their actions. Others of us might have experienced abuse in all of its different forms at the hand of a father or a father figure in their lives. So simply reading these two words on the screen and the idea of calling God as Father isn't just off-putting. Maybe it induces some fear and anxiety in you. And if that story is true for you, I want to say I'm sorry. That it was not supposed to be that way. And I hate what evil can bring out in our world and bring about. The brokenness, the hurt, the pain, and the destruction. And so if that is part of your story, I want you to know that that's not what God wants for you, and He hurts with you. And that it doesn't have to define you. And that history doesn't negate your worth. You still matter in the eyes of God, and you can still experience the love of God. Because God wants to be the Father, the true Father, that you need. You see, God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants you to experience the love that He is. Over the course of the past week, I've gotten stuck in the letter of 1 John. I've read it and reread it. And if you haven't read the book of 1 John in a while, I want to encourage you to pick it up this week. And this week, if you want to join, I'm going to be sending out an email each day with just kind of a section to read and maybe something to think about. So if you want to drop your email, if you haven't been here with us before, if you want to drop your email on your card, I'd be happy to add you into that. But as you read through this letter, John reiterates over and over and over again that God is love. The passage that Carrie read for us this morning is one that I kept coming back to this week. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. God declares that that is what we are. That we are His children if we have given our lives to Him. And indeed, God wants all people everywhere with all kinds of backgrounds to become His children. Regardless of your past and what you've done or what's been done to you, God wants everybody to call Him Father. Indeed, the word that's here is actually even more intimate than that. The word that is in these texts is the word for Daddy. It's how we're told to address God a couple of different times in Scripture. And so I want you to hear these words this morning. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His children, God sent the Spirit of God into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, Abba. It's a word that in its language was what you would call your daddy as a little kid, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but you are God's child. And since you are His child, He has now made you an heir. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear any longer. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Daddy, Father. And the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are His children, we are His heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, that we might share in His glory. And as you read through the pages of Scripture, you are confronted over and over again by the fact that we are God's children, adopted by God into His family, made brothers and sisters of His Son, given His Spirit to be His presence in our hearts and lives. And that Spirit tells us that we are God's children, reminding us over and over, and that we have nothing left to fear. And that Spirit tells us to call God Daddy. There's no more beautiful sound in my life than hearing my children say Daddy. And nothing else grabs my attention more quickly. I don't hear any of your kids. Let me say that the way I mean to say that, though. When we are here in service, if your kids are talking, I don't hear it. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. If I do hear it, I kind of laugh because, hey, I've been there too, right? Now, if I hear my kid, that voice cuts through loud and clear, right? When things are going really, really well, and when things might be slightly more challenging than we might want, right? So here's the good news. If your kid cries during my sermon, I didn't hear it. Don't come apologize. I'm totally fine, okay? But if mine cries, it's going to be the only thing I hear. I was dead asleep last night, and Lydia cried out, Daddy, and I woke up. So when they cry out in sadness, Daddy, my heart breaks to be with them. When they cry out in joy, Daddy, a smile lights up my face. When they say, Daddy, I love you, nothing gets me quite like that. And when we cry out in sadness, Abba, it breaks God's heart to be with us. And when we cry out in joy, Abba, it's God's delight. It fills Him with joy. Because God wants to be our Father, no matter what. Maybe today that's the message that you needed to hear. That you are loved by God because God is love. And the fact that this is how God showed His love among us, that He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. Maybe that's what it is you need to hear today. And God wants you to experience that love in your own life. A love that transforms everything. And if you haven't encountered that love, or you need to know more about it, or if you just need to hear the story, then we'd love to help you make this your story. So, if that's where you are, then please stop somebody today and say, hey, I want to learn more about that. I guarantee you people will make time for that this week. Maybe you just need to be reminded that God wants you to pray with this in mind. That God is our Father. And because God is our Father, we can rejoice. Over the course of this sermon series, we are focusing on an acronym. It's kind of forming the basis of the entire series that we're doing. And the acronym is Learning How to Pray, P-R-A-Y. And we stop to pause to remind ourselves that God is with us. And we talked about that last week. And then we can rejoice because of God's goodness and His grace and His love. And then we can ask because God wants to take care of His children. And then we just yield our lives to Him. And over the course of these next few weeks, that's what we're going to be digging into. Because God is our Father, we can pray with joy, with confidence, with assurance, without fear, without shame. Because God wants to hear from His children. There's this thing that happens in my life. Sometimes I feel kind of bad about it, but sometimes I fall asleep when I'm praying. How many of you are in that boat? We got a couple of confessors. Okay, let me be honest. More often than not, I fall asleep when I'm praying. It's just true. I pray late at night and I lay my head on the pillow and that's about it, right? And I feel bad about that sometimes. But there's no holier moment for me in some ways than whenever I'm putting my own kids to bed and we stop and we do this routine. We read through a story, then we do a Bible story together. We sing a little song. We stop and we pray. And I love in those moments hearing my daughter's voices while we're praying. But here's what's interesting to me about that. Often, more often than not, as we're praying, they tend to fall asleep. And I don't get mad. And I'm not nudging them and I'm not throwing their Bibles down, evidently. I apologize for that. I don't get frustrated by that. Instead, I just simply finish out my prayer and I stop and I watch them for a while. And I just enjoy the moment that I have to be close and comfortable with them. Give them a hug and I go. And when I fall asleep praying with God, I'm comfortable, I'm close, I'm confident that God is with me, and I enjoy being in the presence of my Father. So when you fall asleep praying, it's okay. I'll just give you permission. Jesus teaches us to pray our Father because he wants us to know that God wants to hear from his children. It's a reminder that God loves us, that God cares, that God is there to offer forgiveness when we bring our lives to him. He wants to forgive us and deliver us, and we can rejoice because he is ours and we are his. My prayer for you is that you've encountered the love of Christ. And if this is the first time you've heard about it or the first time in a while, I want you to keep hearing about it. And so if you want to set up a time we can sit and talk and study, I would love to do that. Or if you say, you know, I want to respond today and I want to give my life to him and I want to put on Christ in baptism, then we would love to do that today to help bring you more fully into that story. And if you say, you know what, I've forgotten that, or life is so stressful and I've got all these things going on and I just need somebody to stop and pray for me, then you're welcome to respond and we'd love to pray with you right now. We're going to offer a time of worship. We're going to stand so that nobody looks awkward if you step out in the aisles. Don't feel awkward if you decide to step out and walk down here anyway. And I'll be here to meet you, and other people can be here too. And if you say, I'm not the person who wants to come down front, that's okay too. Feel free to grab somebody before you go and just say, hey, I want to talk about, pray about, lay whatever out, it is out there you want. May God bless you today. May you recognize that he is your Father and the love that he has for you, because he loves you and wants you to know you are his child. Let's worship together this morning.